bless you here. Appreciate you folks in song and music here today. All the youth can go upstairs to be in the Edge Youth Ministries here. We have Jonathan Alvarez helping us out with the J-High middle schoolers as well. And then, of course, Nate and Sarah helping us out with senior high. And we appreciate the workers, volunteers with them as well. Keep on praying for all of our high school, middle school students, all of our elementary school students, as well as those who've gone off to university. Their first weeks have begun now, and I pray that God's going to just bless them so much this coming school year. They're going to find themselves having opportunities to share their testimony of how they received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because our children need Jesus. And we're seeing more and more unreached people in our public schools than ever before. That just changed. Amen. If you have your Bibles, look in the book of Psalm chapter 102. I'll be there in a while. I'm on this series here called Living in Stability, which is kind of like breaking that down as living in stability, because there's so many things, again, that are shaking around us. So many foundations are being attacked, or they're crumbling, or they're kind of going by the wayside. The God's Word even says in one part of it, what are my people doing when things are crumbling, the foundations are being shaken, says the Lord. And I pray today again, the word of the Lord that came out about repentance and about us drawing near to God. As long as you are a person that knows that God's Spirit lives in you and you understand who you are in Jesus Christ, no matter what this world goes through in these last days, you're going to find yourself built upon a solid rock foundation. No storm will actually shake you, unless it gives you actually a wind for your sails to actually gain momentum in these last days to be bearing more fruit, not less fruit. Amen? I believe God's going to release more and more divine opportunities to you guys at your workplace, your neighborhood, because of all the fear being released upon this world by all the things we see and hear about on the media. It's going to give believers opportunities to share the living God's alive. He loves you. He's here near you. If you call out to him, he'll listen to you. And God's a God that'll give you his comfort, his peace, but also will give you salvation for those who need that in their lives. I want to speak this morning here about God does not change. God doesn't change. Because one of the things about being stable in life is understanding the God we serve changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can hang our hat on that as well. When the world around us changes, when our world gets rocked around us, when all things that used to be stable are seeming to become unstable here, the good news is God is still stable. He's still our rock. He's still our fortress. He's still our strong and mighty tower. He's still our Jehovah Nissi. And God is again the God whose character and nature will not change throughout all of the ages. What's an ever-changing constant you can count upon in this ever-changing world? What's the ever-constant thing about that? The thing is here, the important question to answer today is, because we're living in a time where things are changing so fast around us, we even as believers need to understand that our anchor and our moorings must be cabled into, tied into, chained down to the truths of who God is, that God ever is for us, not against us. It may seem like God's angry and God's mad and God's loosing some things upon the earth that's even causing us to think that God's upset with even the church itself. But I want to promise you, God is not upset with the church of Jesus Christ. We are the one God loves. He sent his son for us. He knows we're imperfect vessels. He knows we make mistakes. But his grace is still sufficient for us. And God may refine us, and God may purge us, and God may deal with our hearts here. But it's only because God's making us stronger and stronger to become more like he is and have more faith developed inside of our lives by the power of his word and by the power of his spirit. This past week here, we saw on the media again the changing what we're going through by the stock market. It goes down one day 600 points, goes down then 400 points, then oil goes down to $35 a barrel in a couple of days. Then it shoots back up to $45 a barrel 2 days later. The stock market goes back up 1,000 points 2 days later. Here comes a new week now. Monday comes tomorrow. Who knows what the future has as far as the economies of the world are concerned. We're living in very, very uncertain time. There's dual hurricanes right now heading for Hawaii. There's all kind of shaking taking place and earthquakes and weird weather patterns happening all over the world. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars happening all around us. But again, all these things of our world is temporary changing around us does not mean, though, that God is nervous or God's afraid or God's upset. It simply means that Jesus Christ is coming back for a people who are going to be steadfast, be stable, and realize I'm receiving divine opportunities in the face of turmoil around me. I'm serving the Jesus Christ who changes not, and he wants to still work through me according to his good pleasure. Many things you buy right now become outdated in 12 months. Add to this also the changes in our society, the changes in crime. Who would have thought that we live in a time where on live television, two reporters get gunned down right before millions of people and get put on Facebook and YouTube in a matter of seconds? Who would have known that only a day or two ago in Houston, Texas, an innocent 45-year-old policeman gets gunned down by a guy while he's pumping gasoline in assassination style? Things that are so shocking to us in times past no longer seem to shock us today because crime is changing. Society is changing. Violence is changing. Climates are changing. Economies are changing. Nations are changing right before our eyes. But we serve a God who does not change. There's no shadow of turning in Him is what the Word of God says to us in this hour and in this season. Look at the changes even in our typing. Way back when I was a little young boy, about 13, 12, 11 years old in Kansas, we owned a thing called an Underwood manual typewriter. You ladies that are here that are over 55 or 60 years old all learned how to type on manual typewriters. They made good noises. I liked the tap, tap, tap they gave better than the click, click, click of keyboards today. Amen. It was kind of a romantic, kind of a soothing noise. You go into an office and hear those clanking, crattling, smacking keys upon the paper of the old Underwood typewriters. Those old typewriters, though, they were the kind of things where you made a mistake, you had to get a little piece of paper, kind of a plastic type thing with white on it, and put that under the ribbon there, go back, find the E or the A or the T that was wrong, and then type over that, and then retype that thing once again. Underwoods were slow. They were cumbersome. So as time goes by, a great breakthrough takes place, and here comes the electric, selectric IBM typewriter. I learned in ninth grade at age 15 how to type on a electric, selectric in typing class at Meade Junior High School, Wichita, Kansas, typing 65 words a minute before I got out of that class, loving every minute of that as well. Those things were sharp. They had a little ball in them. You could change the ball out to get new fonts, different fonts. And the good thing about Selectrics were they also had a correction ribbon on them. You guys, you could go back there and hit a certain button on the typewriter and push that button there and erase your wrong E, your wrong T, or your wrong whatever there and start all over again. Then the 80s come, and here comes the Apple computer. About the mid-80s, Apple brings forth their first computer with a thing called floppy disks. It takes about 10 minutes to take and actually boot that thing up. And didn't have a whole lot of memory back in those days, but guess what? It was a word processor. It was a lot better than typewriters was. You could type the whole page out in a screen and then go back and push a button and clear all the mistakes up you wanted to before you push that button. Now, as time has gone by, we brought out now the thing called the tablet, the thing called the iPhone. And now as time is advancing and time is going forward, there's even glasses now. We've all seen these with a screen on the glasses. You can be doing two things at once, watching a movie in one eye, talking to your friends with the other eye. Amen? Don't do it with your wife or your husband. That's not good communication skills. Amen? So we got the iPhones, we got the iPads, we got the glasses, we got the smartphones as well, like Dick Tracy had in our comic books years and years ago. In due time, it'll be like Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty. I want to get out of here. No intelligent life down here. Amen? Who knows what it's going to be like before Jesus Christ comes back as far as technology is concerned. But I do know we're living in a changing world with changing technologies. And all these things also bring changes to communication, to personal relationships. Our time constraints all become more and more strained, it seems like, with the more ways that the earth changes in this day and this hour. These changes also have been good in many ways, but sometimes these changes also bring things we don't want to even see change in our lives. There's a small town here south of Austin by New Braunfels called Green. It's actually spelled G-R, I think, O-E-N-E. Looks like growing, but it's actually, I understand, pronounced Green, Texas. In Green, Texas, driving in that town, the sign there says, gently resisting change since 1872. Well, that town may have some things that are way back in the 1800s, but most things around us in Austin, Round Rock, Pflugerville, and surrounding areas are changing, changing, changing all the time. And some change is good, some change is not so good. But I want to get some things this morning here about how God Himself does not change. We're seeing changes take place by our styles, by our music, even by our sports. It kind of freaked me out A few years back, I saw a team in Idaho, a college team, now has a blue football field. Who wants a blue football field? Many of our college players are now wearing neon colors. They're wearing chromed helmets of all different shapes and colors, and things are changing all the time in styles, in music, in sporting events around us on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. Our culture is changing. Our body also, guess what, is going through changes. I'm realizing now as I'm approaching my 50s, as I'm in this realm here as well, that my body cannot do the things it did 30 years ago and not rebel against that. You know, our irrigation clock got hit by lightning, by the lightning voltage surge a few weeks ago. So I've been actually for the past couple of weeks here, praise God, has been fixed now. But I've been hauling heavy hoses from the back of our building clear to the front of our property, trying to keep this place from dying as far as the trees and grass go. And so I'm jerking hoses, carrying hoses, then jerking hoses back to get them all back in place behind the building once again. And I found myself doing that about 10 days back, 2 weeks ago. And then I found myself, after that, playing ball with August, throwing the ball up and down the stairs. I just simply threw the ball like this up to him, and something in my lower back just kind of snapped. A muscle, a tendon somehow went out of place by all the strain, by the hose pulling, I'm sure. And I said, I have actually got pain in my back now. I came to church here last Sunday morning. You didn't know this, but I had a lot of pain in my back. And it lasted for about 2 or 3 days. First time in my life that's ever happened to me. I'm realizing my body is changing. I can't do the same things today as I did 30 years ago. And some of you folks are also the same yourselves. Amen. We can't jump as high. We can't run as far. We can't climb as many stairs. But our bodies are in some ways changing, in sometimes even negative ways. Children also can experience changes when they have to move to a new family, to a new household, to a new city, a new town. Sometimes divorce takes place. That brings great change in people's lives as well. Sometimes death would happen in our families. That brings great change to us when a mother, father, husband, or wife, or child dies. Also, things take place by strokes, by heart attacks, by medical conditions. We sometimes can lose a job. All these things can bring very sudden, very fast, unexpected changes in our lives. That's why God again says, you that are out there in the earth, I understand we live in a very, very volatile, changing world. You need me to be unchanging. You need me to be powerful and almighty, because I can take all the changes in life that are sometimes going to stress you out and sometimes pressurize your life, and I can be the God of the peace that passes all understanding for you as long as you live on the face of this earth. I praise God, our God is constant. Now, God, again, is always doing something different. God does a new thing all the time around us. But God's nature, God's character, and some things about God's basic being never changes. And I thank God for that. Don't you as well? You may also not be understanding we're going through great changes right now concerning living upon the face of this earth. We don't know what our laws will dictate to us as far as what the churches can preach, what scripture we can or cannot read. We don't understand what will take place as far as marriages are concerned. There's many laws that are actually on the books right now for the next 4 to 5 years ahead of us that could really change even things of Christianity in our country as we know it today. We don't really know what the changes may be around the horizon for us. I add to this also, we're facing the blood moon. We're facing the Shemitah once again. All these things around us that are in the signs of the skies around us have got the church kind of unsettled and on edge. I want to be a person that says, I'm just going to simply wake up every day and say, this is a day the Lord has made. I will rejoice in this day and be glad in it. Lead me, O God, by your Spirit this day that I may be found in your will. If I'm in your will, I'm as safe as I can be upon the face of the earth. Amen. So let's read now Psalm chapter 102, Psalm 102 verse 25. What does God's word say about the unchanging God? Psalm 102, 25, the New King James Version on the screen here as well behind me. It says, of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure forever. Yes, you will endure. They will all grow old like a piece of clothing, like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. So God is saying our entire earth is going to go through changes until Jesus Christ comes back. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you, is what God says. So what God says is, as long as we're on this earth, this fallen world around us, we can expect change to happen. We can expect weird weather patterns. We can expect fluctuations in economies and nations and kingdoms and societies and cultures. The good news is God himself laid the foundations, and he changes not. And he still has the best in store for us in the life to come. Amen. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 also verifies this. The truth about God is revealed here. It says, I, the Lord God, I do not change. No matter how much change we see around us, God himself, the Bible tells us, it was always true, it's from God's own breath, does not change. Now, I want to say again today, if you're a person who actually is a skeptic that God's word is really true, you got to understand the Bible has lasted now for over 6,000 years of history, and it has not been proven false in one verse in it over the years. You cannot say that about the Bhagavad Gita, about the Book of Mormon, about the book that belongs to all cults or false religions. There's always been something found wrong in their prophecies, their histories, or their writings. Not one verse has been proven false in the Word of God throughout all the generations of time. Written by many men over many centuries, the Word of God still is true today as the day it was written, hundreds, even thousands of years ago, because God changes not, and God only tells the truth. Amen? We have religions that exist today that have been changed and edited over 1,500 times in their writings, teachings, and doctrines. Our Bible, our Word, God's Word changes not because God changes not. And I praise God that God is steadfast. One of the great truths about God is the doctrine of a thing called a doctrine of immutability. This is a popular thing today that actually means what God says, who God is who God will be forever and evermore. There's a popular movie series out right now called The X-Men. The X-Men are full of these creatures that are called mutants. They mutate into creatures that can do supernatural feats. Wolverine's one of them. They got one guy that turns into a speed demon that can go very, very fast. One guy can make lightning and storms appear. One lady can take and shape shift into all kind of creatures or beings upon the face of the earth there. These are all mutants. They mutate. Guess what? God does not mutate. God does not evolve. Who God was when God was formed, God's always been. God will always be forever and ever and evermore. I praise God that God does not change, God does not shift, and God does not mutate upon the universe, upon creation. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So, the question this morning is, how could you actually even improve on God if God did mutate? If God did change, it would only be for the worse, not for the better. Because how can you improve on perfect? How can you improve on all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, all-knowing, all wisdom, all love, all righteousness? How can you improve on that? The truth is, you cannot. If God would change, it would be only for the less, not for the better. God will not change, because God is as high as it gets, the best that it gets, and God also is love, and I praise him for that. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it goes on and says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, of whom there is no shadow of turning in him as well. So the gifts that God gives us also are perfect gifts. And guess what? We have in us a thing called the gift of the Holy Spirit. The perfect one is living in us, the imperfect beings. And because he is perfect, he will see your imperfections and very, very gently, very patiently draw us into a character that's like he is if we let him do that every day, every year in our lives. I praise God for his patience with me. I praise God for his patience with you as well. God is not finished with us, but God loves us unconditionally. I want to look at some things here this morning now, some take-home points to write down perhaps in your bulletins as well. Let's see a few things about how God never changes, how those benefit our lives, how they bring assurance to us in a changing world that God does not change. Number one, God's character does not change. Has anybody ever here today ever woken up in a bad mood? Or woken up with kind of a foul temper on the wrong side of the bed perhaps? You've had a bad season. You've had a time of reversal. Well, guess what? God has never gone through that ever his entire being on the face of the earth. Never even been in a bad mood. Never changed his personality. Never gone through seasons of dryness or boredom or lifelessness. God has been consistently the same in a good, perfect way throughout all the eons of time. And he will be like that for all the billions of years ahead of us as far as eternity goes by in the future as well. God has never had a day where he was withheld mercy, where he held a grudge, where he got bored with mankind. Praise God that God does not get bored. In fact, God says to me, 1,000 of your years, because I am so busy, is like one day to me. 1,000 years in human constitution here is like one little day in my sight, because I'm a busy God. I'm a God that's doing things all around me all the time. Time goes real fast for me. It's like one day to me, 1,000 years in your sight. You see this also as a thing that brings the instability to us, knowing that God, because he does not get bored, and God holds no grudges, and God is not getting in bad moods, that means no matter what mankind does in these last days, it will not cause God to fly off the handle and do some things that are irresponsible in these last days. We're going to see men, the Bible says, waxing worse and worse in the secular realm. It will not make God get surprised, get unhappy, get angry, and start putting out thunderbolts from heaven to destroy entire cities by that. God will be pouring out more mercy, more grace, and more love. How do I know that? The Bible says where sin abounds, the grace of God will much more abound. So because God himself and his character does not change, does not mean his actions will not change. I'm believing God again for the Church of Jesus Christ to be revived in this hour, this season. I pray at Tree of Life Church, I pray hunger and thirst for him would increase in us more and more and more, so much. We find ourselves praising him, worshiping him, and praying to him behind the scenes when no one's looking, Mondays through Saturdays, because we hunger for him so much. God wants to reveal truths to us, revelations, visions, prophecies. God has all these things stored up for us, for those who call upon his name and take time to spend with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, it says, is the same himself yesterday, today, and forevermore. As I get older and older, I also understand there's some things in my life I'd like to see change that just don't change. I still hate chunks of onions today, just like I did 40 years ago. Cheryl learned a long time back, do not put onions in my meatloaf. Do not put onions in my salad. When you order things at restaurants to share, I do not want onions in that. It was probably my dad's fault. My dad, back on the farm in Missouri when I was only about a five-year-old kid, he handed me a raw onion from the garden and said, here, Michael, taste this. Tastes real good. I bit into it like an apple and just about passed out. And from that very, very bad traumatic experience, after weeks of counseling, I still hate onions, but I don't have post-traumatic stress disorder from that yet. But I'll tell you right now, I don't like onions too much, okay? I can handle them chopped up. I can handle them ground up. I can handle some flavor and some picante sauce. Just don't give me no chunks of onions. Things just sometimes just don't change in people's lives, amen? I still need more patience. I still need sometimes more tolerance. I still need some things in my life. I want to see them change, but it just don't seem to change as in my life it seems like. Every promise God has made, God will keep. That's the good news. Every commitment he has made, he will honor. Every name that describes God describes him even today and forevermore. He will evermore be our great I am, our good shepherd, our provider, our healer, our deliverer. He will always be everything we need him to be throughout all eternity. And I praise God that God is like that, because God is limitless. God is going to always be more than enough. And God is creative. And God is creator, and God is full of life, and God is full of joy, and God is full of power as long as we live, as long as we have our being. He's like that through eternity. In fact, point number two is this. God's power also never changes. In all the important areas of life, God will always be the same for us through eternity. God's power never changes. Human beauty, human strength, human vitality, all will fade away. And some folks said, oh me, and amen. But God's doesn't. The same beauty, the same vitality, the same power is on him today as in the very, very times of creation. Our own capabilities will be actually peaking at some point in our lives and then going backwards and going south. Again, we see ourselves not looking as good perhaps today as 50 years ago. Not as strong, not as vibrant, not as energetic. Can't even remember things as well perhaps now like way back long time ago. But God is not like that. God is still in his prime. Amen? He's not some old wizened person who can barely walk or barely stand up. He's in his prime today, and he always ever will be throughout eternity. But the good news also is this. He's going to make you and I also in our prime for eternity. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, trumpet shall sound, the dead will be raised, and those that are immortal shall become, or those that are mortal shall take on immortality, and that which is full of corruption will be full of incorruption, says the Lord, forever and ever and evermore. Praise God for that. No more gravity results, no more thinning hair, no more diets, no more jogging, no more sit-ups, no more push-ups, no more bad food. No more of this, that, and the other. There's all negative around us. All these things, the Bible says, all the old order of things will change. Behold, I make all things become new. And you'll be in your prime forevermore with God, with Jesus Christ, the angels, each other, throughout all of creation, forever and ever and evermore. Amen? God's power is so great that he's already anticipated any problems, temptations, or challenges we will possibly face on the face of this earth and brought antidotes for them that only he can bring. That's how powerful God is. Nothing takes God by surprise. No disease, no sickness, no loss of a job, no divorce takes God by surprise. God has antidotes for that. And his grace, his peace, his power will be there for us in times of changes upon the face of the earth. You know, back about 15 years ago, Cheryl and I were in a place called the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, doing a missions outreach through Shoreline Christian Center. Excuse me. And on that trip, we were chopping down some trees in the rainforest, making room for a hospital to be built out there. And they told us, be careful, this one tree you're seeing here, when you put your machete into it, the sap will come pouring out. And that sap is actually poisonous and very, very acidic. If it goes onto your skin, it'll burn your skin like acid. But the good news is, for some reason, God has put right next to every tree like that, the antidote tree. And its sap and its nourishing thing inside of it, put on that acid on your skin, will totally heal your skin instantly. God put the antidote right next to the poison in that place. It speaks to you and I and says this. Every poison the world can try to give us, God's got an antidote right next to it. It's called the blood of Jesus. It's called the power of God. It's called the word of the Lord. It's called the love of Jesus Christ. There is an antidote for every poison the world pours out on us in this life that's so temporary upon this earth. Another thing about his power has to do also with the continued hatred that God has for sin and evil. God will always hate sin and hate evil. As long as the devil and demons are loose, as long as evil exists, God will be against it, God will hate it, and God will fight against it. And then God even says, for this purpose I made manifest to destroy the works of the evil one upon the earth, says the Lord. We're going to always be in warfare. As long as we live in this mortal body, as long as Satan's alive, as long as demons are around us, We're always going to be in warfare against the powers of darkness. But guess what? The power of God that changes not has already defeated every work of the devil. But we must bind, we must loose, we must use our authority in Jesus' name to come against the powers of darkness and see them pushed back by God's power and grace. Every day I'm going to encourage you guys, be praying every day in specific. Murder, be broken. Ideas of hell to bring disasters and terrorism, be broken, be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray almost every day, Father God, I say every Shiite, every person involved in ISIS, every radical Muslim, I right now say all their thoughts, all their schemes, all their plans for bombings and for death and destruction be discovered, be bound and broken in Jesus' name. I take personal credit myself for that guy that was over there in Europe. Those three Marines, those three service guys, they said they happened to be walking by the bathroom of the guy loading his AK-47 in that bathroom. When they heard the chamber being loaded, they said, that guy, there's somebody in there loading a weapon. And because of that, they discovered him, they found him out, and many, I believe, dozens of lives were saved that day by people being in the right place at the right time in Jesus' name. So I'm saying, let's start praying more and more prayers like that. These folks get discovered before they do their acts of violence in the name of Jesus. Because there's no doubt there's demons out there giving folks ideas to do demonic works upon the earth. Look at the eyes of some of these guys that are mass murderers. They've got demons looking right through their eyes almost every single time. We need to pray against that in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't want to see any more policemen wiped out. I don't want to see anybody that's innocent killed like this anymore. It can be stopped by the prayers of God's people. If they'll humble themselves, pray, seek his face, he will heal their land, is what God tells us. We must take prayer seriously because God's power gets released through prayer. Amen? Number three, God's forgiveness also never changes. God forgives every sin today just like he did 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died on the cross. I don't care what you've done in your past or your present. God has paid that price for that sin by the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ. Amen? In the old days, the typewriters, again, like I said, when mistakes were made, you could use those correction sheets, put them behind the typewriter key, tap onto it, and the bad E or bad D or whatever was gone. But also, an invention came out that was called whiteout, liquid paper. You could take this thing in a bottle, and like a little brush that you use also for painting model cars, dab some white stuff on the mistake, blow on it with your mouth, dry it instantly, and then type over your mistake with your whiteout. Amen? Do you realize that whiteouts began in this electric generation of electric typewriters there? It actually was invented by a woman back in the 1960s. You got tired of having corrections take place in a slow manner. She goes into her garage. She finds some white paint. She finds some other chemicals in the garage along with that, makes a concoction together, and invents a thing that is called whiteout today upon the face of the earth. You know, also, these electric, I think I said in the past, that they're called self-correcting ribbons. How many folks wish our teenagers had self-correcting ribbons inside of them? They can go out and do some dumb things on Fridays and Saturday nights and come back on Sunday morning and push a button, and a self-correcting ribbon erases all the things they've done to your car, reputation, whatever they've done in a negative way. The self-correcting ribbon kicks in. Well, the good news is this. Jesus Christ is our whiteout. He has paid the price for our sins. Though our sins be like scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Do you realize the lady again that invented the whiteout, the liquid paper? She first called this thing. I want to look at this here. She called it, first of all, in 1960. She's from Dallas, Texas. Her name is Betty Nesmith Graham. She first called this new invention mistake out. Then she called it paint out. Then she called it white out. Then it finally became liquid paper. She sold this invention to Gillette in 1979 for $47.5 million. Now, a side fact, you're only going to get this at Tree of Life Church, Show that picture now. This is a group called the Monkees. Do you realize that if they can show this here, that guy in the hat in the front there, his name is Michael Nesmith, the son of Betty Nesmith Graham. He's actually the son of the inventor of whiteout and liquid paper. He's also the inventor and beginner of MTV. Not a real glorious thing on his resume. I wouldn't say that myself. That's my opinion. Okay, go back to whatever he was at there before. This guy's name is Michael Nesmith. This guy's the son, the mother. They all became rich. Of course, she died a few years ago. Now, God anticipated that sin might happen, so he created a thing called forgiveness. He says, now to us, come, let's reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. No sin, no evil, no bad thing you confess. But what my son, Jesus Christ, paid the price for that sins can be washed away. Last of all, number four, God's mission on earth will never change. The earth will change, man will change, cultures will change, kingdoms will change, but God's mission for this planet is never going to change. From the beginning of creation, Genesis chapter 1 says this, God wanted a people made in his image whom he could love and bless, have relationship with, and give them an exciting, fruitful, and meaningful existence upon the face of the earth. That has never changed in the 6,000 years man's been here. The same mandate then is a mandate today. God's a God of relationships, to give you a meaningful, exciting, joyful, joy-filled existence upon the earth and to bear lasting fruit in Jesus' name. Sin came in, put a fly in the ointment. God makes it clear the world around us today is far less than what he wanted it to be. And we see here the mission, though, still remains the same. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. Have dominion over that thing, conquered, and go forth in my name, says the Lord. Every place your foot is going to tread, I'm going to give that to you, says God. Man is made for dominion upon the face of this earth here. Kingdoms around us have all fallen and failed and gone backwards and tottered and teetered and so forth. But God's kingdom remains expanding upon the face of the earth. A medical researcher who was actually in Portland, Oregon, in pediatric oncology, which deals with, of course, cancer, he said, I'm not a believer, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a man of faith, but I've sure noticed that when a family loses a child out here, the ones who do the best are those who have faith because they also have hope. They believe somehow there's meaning and they have a community of people around them to love them. The people who do the worst are the people who work at Microsoft, because their God was technology and their God had failed them, and nobody in their neighboring cubicles would come to their memorial services when their children died in life. Praise God for the body of Jesus Christ, who understands we love God, but we also love each other in Jesus' name. And when bad things happen to good people in a changing world, we are here to love one another with the love of Jesus Christ. And through that, God's love goes into people's lives supernaturally and brings in a comfort and a peace that passes all human abilities and understandings upon the earth. All we have to offer people is Jesus Christ and the love of a spiritual family. But guess what? That's enough, because love conquers all evil around us. Amen. Perfect love casts down fear and brings forth every void and vacuum being filled up with God's grace, God's goodness, God's heart, God's nature, God's being every time. Psalm 92, verse 13 and 14 says this, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit, praise God, in their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing as long as they live on the face of the earth. No matter how old you get upon this earth, your spirit man's the same age today as it was the day you got born again. It changes not. Amen? You're going to be fresh and flourishing in the house of God till the day you die and see Jesus Christ face to face, should he tarry that long. Now, James, come back to the platform and help me out at the end of the service. I'm going to say a few more things. I'm going to say we come from God through our parents. But our identity is not through our parents. It's through our God. We come through our parents, by our parents, but the day you're born in that hospital room when Cheryl gave birth to Daniel and Kristen and Sarah, every single time, something supernatural filled that hospital room up. And I could sense that God was putting a spirit in that person, that little body, even at birth. And I know this person is now an eternal being. And I pray to God they live with God forevermore in His kingdom that never ends. Our parents might have helped to make us, but God is our creator. He puts the spirit in us. He takes that spirit back out of our bodies, and God says, you now belong to a new kingdom, to a new father, to a new family that's called the kingdom of Almighty God. The best family that can exist is that family in Jesus' name. Christ received God's wrath and judgment so that we don't have to ourselves. And praise God that Jesus Christ did that for us. And I want to say this morning here, as James kind of plays something softly for us, the challenge this morning is to understand and realize that in this heartbreaking world, this changing world around us, can we be those who keep our eyes and focus on the author and finisher of our faith, knowing he who began a good work in us shall complete that work until Jesus Christ comes back. God wants us to walk and live in stability in these last days. There'll be so many things in the future still breaking loose in a negative realm we don't even know about. May those things, the Bible says itself, may those things not startle us, remove our faith from us, or make us be full of fear and trepidation in these last days. God says, where sin abounds, my grace will more abound than the fearful things around you, says the Lord. Well, heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning here for a time of prayer, a time to think, a time to let God work inside of our hearts and lives. The way that God does not change is God's character does not change. His power does not change. His forgiveness is everlasting, does not change, unconditional. The mission God has upon this earth still does not change. Until Jesus Christ comes back, binds the devil, cast him into a lake of fire, our mission remains. Subdue, take dominion, bind, loose, warfare, take back what is rightfully mine, says the Lord, because this world is mine, says God, it's not the devil's. This morning here, his heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask, first of all, do you sense in your own life that you've gone through some changes, you've seen change around you that might have rattled you, it might have scared you, it might have shook you at your foundation? If you're a person, first of all, that needs to know that your foundation is not in temporal things around you, but it must be in God's kingdom and His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you this morning, is your heart right with God? Is your heart full of God's faith, God's Spirit? Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior both? Is your heart not divided in these last days, where you find yourself going back in your old habits, back in your old ways, back into your old thoughts, your old depressions, your old discouragements? Or do you find yourself having a steadfast heart that's full of victory and power and full of peace and full of inner workings that brings you constant victories in life? Because God wants you to have a heart like that in this hour of this season. If you're here this morning and you want to receive Jesus Christ in your heart and life by confessing Him as your Lord and Savior, if you want to get your heart right with God today and come back to Him, perhaps, in a thing we call rededication to Him, would you be honest this morning here and just raise one hand to God right now and say, yes, Pastor Mike, that's me. I want to receive Christ in my life. I want to get my heart right with God today. Just raise your hand right now if you do that, if you're like that this morning. Anybody at all in the congregation like that? Praise God. I see a hand over here. Anybody else? Thank you, Father. Praise you, God. All right, I see the one hand that's here. Let's all stand to our feet now, please, and do this. I'm going to have one of our prayer partners here come to the front, a female prayer partner, please, and just go ahead and one or two of you come to the front now if you do that. In a moment, I want the person whose hand was raised up at the close of the service to please make your way over here to this side, and you can see Linda Bertram at the end of the service. She's going to pray with you, talk to you. Make sure before you leave this place that your heart, you know, is steadfast, strong, and right with God. God is proud of you, young lady. God loves you. God wants to see you a lasting thing take place in your life today before you leave this place. So please make time to get with Linda Bertram here and pray with her. I want to pray right now for the congregation. Those that are going through a time right now where change has happened that might have shook your world. It might have rocked your boat somehow, some way. And you're going through some inner turmoil, some inner stresses or pressures here that seem sometimes too big for you. That's where God says, my grace is sufficient for you. When it says my grace abounds, it means my grace also is sufficient for you, no matter what you're going through. If you're like that this morning, you're going through times perhaps of some turmoil, some changes, can you just raise also one hand to God right now, just before the Lord? Raise one hand to God all across the congregation. Do that. Raise one hand to God right now. Let's pray together and ask the Holy Spirit to just work and move in your lives and bring forth stability, bring forth strength, bring forth answers, bring forth solutions, and bring forth His Word and His presence that He wants to bring forth. Let's do that right now. Father, we praise You and thank You, O God, that You are the God who's an anchor. You're the God who is steadfast. You're the God that changes not. You're the God that loves us unconditionally. And in this congregation right now, Holy Spirit, begin to draw people, men, women, to Yourself. To bring in, Father God, Your comfort, Your grace, Your strength, Your joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bind right now and rebuke all depression. Every lie of Satan be exposed and come to nothing in Jesus' name. Every lie of hell come to nothing in Jesus' name. The truth of God be loosed. The Word of God be released. The peace of God be upon these people, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, also right now, let's pray together for our nation. Our nation, God, goes through changes in laws, in foundations. Help us, God, not to hate the sinners, but to hate the sin. Help us, God, not to fight flesh and blood, but fight principalities and powers, rulers of darkness in high places. Let our prayers not be displaced. Let them be guided missiles in the name of Jesus to tear down strongholds, to bind the enemy, to plunder the camps of hell, and to release the will of God upon this earth in Jesus' name. We pray, God, that You'd bring comfort to those who've lost loved ones by murders, by terroristic acts, both overseas and in America as well. We declare together, oh God, we're going to pray for people that they shall be protected this year, this season, in the name of Jesus. We bind the desires of hell to bring more murder, more turmoil, more mass confusion, and more evil upon people's lives by violence and acts that are terroristic. And we thank You, Father God, for divine protection and for a thwarting of Satan's plan and a drawing of people to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior among Muslims and those, oh God, that are bound up in their minds by lies and confusion and unforgiveness and bitterness and anger. We praise You, oh God. You make us a prayer army and a praying people in Jesus' name. You're still